ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सो द क्लास लास्ट क्लास वी सॉ व्हाट इज उत्तमा भक्तिः व्हाट इज द बेस्ट ऑफ डिवोशन नाउ व्हाट इज भक्ति व्हाट इज भक्ति व्हाट इज द एग्जाल्टेड फॉर्म ऑफ डिवोशन When you say all that is there is Ishwaraha, Ishwaraha is the reality, only reality. There is only reality. There is no second thing other than the reality. How can you get this wish? There is no second thing. There is no second, we can't say two realities. There are not two things are not there. The reality is one. Okay, but we have two orders of the same reality. Two orders are there, isn't it? There is wood, there is table. Two orders. Are there two different things? Wood and table, are they two different things? No. They are not two different things, but they are two orders of the same reality. Why do we say they are not two different things? If they are two different things, each thing must be able to exist independent of the other thing. If the wood can be there, even if there is no table, wood alone can be there by itself. But without the wood, table cannot exist by itself. Therefore, they are not two different things. Why? Because adhikaranam. Look at this. Adhikaranam means what? Locus, location, adhikaranam. When I say location, look at this. Now, adhikaranam. Location called adhikaranam. Now, for the wood and for the table, what is the existence? What is the location? Now, the tumbler is here, book is here, the two different things existing in two different locations, places. And tumbler can be, if the book is not there, book can be, if the tumbler is not there, two different locations, isn't it? Then adhikaranams are different. Two different adhikaranams. If it is samana adhikaranam, what is samana adhikaranam? Wood, where the wood is, okay, wherever the table is, what now? There the wood is. Where the wood is, there alone is the table. If the wood is removed, table will not be there, disappear. Therefore, what is the adhikaranam of the table is what? The very wood is the adhikaranam, isn't it? Therefore, we can say, when I say table is wood, wood is not the table, but the table is wood. Why do I say wood is not the table? Because wood is satyam. So what? Wood is satyam means wood existed even before the table was there, made. Even in the form of table, wood alone is there. Wood will continue to be there as the wood even if the table is deformed. Understand now? Table goes and wood can exist without being a table also. Wood does not depend upon table for its existence. Understand? Wood is self-existent, I mean, with reference to table. Therefore, with reference to table, wood is satyam. Whereas table is just the name of a form. That's all. Wood minus name and form table is equal to wood. Wood plus the name and form table is equal to wood. Understand how? And wood, name and form table minus wood is equal to what? Understand? That is why location, where wood is the way the adhikaranam. Understand? For the table, they are not two different. Samana adhikaranam. For the wood and for the table, adhikaranam is what? Samanam, the same adhikaranam. Therefore, what we can say, wood is not the table, but you can say table is wood. when you say, it's called a samanadhikaranyam. Listen now, the statement reveals, what is revealing here? The table is wood when you say, wood alone is satyam, table is mithya. Then what happened to the table? You have resolved the table in the wood. But when you say table is wood, there is only wood. Only reality is wood, table is as though. Understand now? This is what is thing. Similarly here also, this is dissolving the mithya in satyam. In terms of, no, don't do anything physical, in terms of knowledge. Isn't it? Similarly, here also what we say, there is the Chaitanyam Brahma. Understand now? Brahman, the awareness, there is no reality other than awareness. There is no reality other than awareness. Awareness is the reality. Understand? And this awareness, the Satyam, the reality, there is no Lord other than the reality. Lord is what? Reality, awareness. And not only Lord is awareness, the whole Jagat is what? The reality. Therefore, the whole Jagat is what? Ishvara. The whole Jagat is Mithya and awareness alone is Satyam. When you say Jagat is Brahman, Jagat is Ishvara, when you say you have resolved everything as Mithya. The Satyam is then, what is, there is only reality. This is actually Jnanam, isn't it? This knowledge should take place different thing. But resolving, when you say everything is Ishvara, you have resolved what? Aham. Understand now? The isolation has been resolved. You don't isolate yourself anymore from the whole. This is very, very important. Understand now? I am different from the universe. Understand? Universe means physically there's a different thing. And different, actually, Satyam is one means, you don't say, okay, this, the Jiva, Ishwaraha, Jagat and Jiva, all are, in fact, only manifest, only Satyam. All are one and the same. This is the actually understanding. It is what resolving Jagat in reality means. There, I always what know. There's no aham buddhi in the body, mind, sense complex, isn't it? Aham notion, the notion I am the body, I am is not here in only body, mind, sense complex. I am is what? I, the self, am the pure awareness, the satyam, and you say I becomes resolved in awareness. How? What do we mean by resolving I in awareness? Let me tell you. When you say, how do you know, arrive at this reality at all, first of all? No? We studied already, Shastram gives you these methods of unfoldment, etc. Okay, Dhrg, Drishya, Veka, Prakriya. See, you need to know the whole Jagat is manifestation of only reality. In understanding this, you will resolve, you can resolve your individuality. Thereby, you can resolve all the problems based on the isolating as an individual, yourself from the whole. Then that is how you become free from limitation. That is the problem, isn't it? We are interested in our moksha, not in anything else. We have to be very clear about it. That means, then how to resolve this? Shastram tells, know the reality, then you can understand this. How to know the reality? And reality is not available for objectification. As an object of knowledge, you cannot know. You have to know it only as subject of knowledge. What is subject of knowledge? Not the known, but the knower. So you have to know who the knower is. Once you know who the knower is, then you have discovered what? Discovered meaning of the word I. I, the knower, am. What? You do not know now. I, the knower, am. What? You do not know. But when I analyze this, you understand everything, negating everything as objects of knowledge, negated the body, negated the sense purpose, negated powers of organs of action, negated all the thoughts. Every thought, you walk into the cave of mind and you every thought negate as an object of knowledge. You come and stuck with what? Am. Okay, and that also is a thought. I am also is thought. Then you understand there's a deep sleep state wherein, my God, even this thought, I am also is not there. No other thought is there. And you discover this, I am, what is, I am, ends up where what? I am. Isn't it? That I am, where is this I am? You say there's only awareness. Understand, what is there is only just the pure awareness alone is there. How do you arrive at it? What is there when no thought is there is pure awareness. That is how you arrive at how the reality looks. How the reality is. Reality is as the pure awareness. Then later on you analyze how this reality is, no, how it cannot have beginning, how it cannot have end, how it doesn't undergo changes, how it is always the same, how awareness is not dependent upon any of this body's complex, how awareness is independent. Understand now, if awareness, without the knower there cannot be known, everything you understand. Then you say, okay, who is the knower of the three states of, who is the knower in every known state of experience? Okay, every state of mind is known. Who is the knower there? In waking state, there is a knower of the waking state. Is there in the dream also, knower of the dream state? The experiencer of the waking state, experiencer of the dream state, experiencer of the deep sleep state is one and the same. Only experiencer. Understand now? Same experiencer is there always. That experiencer is what? Knower, isn't it? Knower. Therefore, who is the knower now? Knower is awareness. You have understood what now? I, the knower, am the awareness or consciousness. You arrived at it. Now you say, knower is awareness. When you say, knower is awareness. I, the self, am the knower, the awareness. Or I, the knower, am the awareness. When you say, you have resolved the knower in awareness. When you say, resolve knower in awareness, you have resolved I also in awareness. Listen now, I, the knower, am awareness. When you say, you have resolved knower in awareness. Is it clear? How do you say, Swaminiji, what am I resolving again? Let me tell you here. When you say, light illumines everything here. My old example, the usual example. Light illumines everything when I say, who is the illuminator here? There's no, what is the illuminator here? We say, illuminator of everything is the light. Illuminator of everything is the light means, what does it mean? Okay, there, illumining is the swarupam. There is no illuminator other than the light. That means, you have to understand, there is no distance between illuminator and the light. Samana adhikaranam is a gross example. It will give me a different example. Samana adhikaranam. There cannot be, there is illuminator. Okay? Because from the standpoint of the illumined objects here, we have to say what? There is an illuminator. Why do you say illuminator? Because all these objects are illumined. There is very much an illuminator. Understand? Who is the illuminator? Illuminator is the light. Why do, that illuminator is light means, illuminator is not different from the light. Understand now, illuminator is not different from the light. Illuminator is not distant from the light. Illuminator is non-separate from the light. Understand, inseparable or non-separate from the light. Non-distant from the light. Understand now, non-separate, not distant. In fact, illuminator is not different from the light. Therefore, illuminator is light. If the light is switched off, illuminator disappears. Where is the illuminator? Where has he gone? Where is the illuminator? The light is on, illuminator is there. Therefore, what we say, illuminator is light means, illumining his swarupam. This illumining is the swarupam, nature of the light. From the standpoint of objects which become illumined, we say illuminator is the light. Because light illumining is not an action. It is swarupam. Understand? You have resolved the illuminator in what now? Light. How do you resolve? You understand. Please understand. Resolving means understanding the illuminator being not none other than the light. Understanding the illuminator being non-separate, non-distant, non-different from the light is what? Illuminator does not exist. When the light is not there, illuminator is not there. Understand? Therefore, understanding this non-distance, non-separateness, understand, inseparability, and also what? Understand, not, illuminator being not there, minus the light, understand, is what? Not being different from the light is, understanding this is what? Resolving the illuminator in the light. Is it clear now? Similarly, we do not know, we say first we had available for understanding as what? As the knower. Therefore, we are searching for a knower only now. Once you know who the knower is, consciousness, awareness is not the knower. Understand now? The knower is awareness. You resolve the knower in awareness. I the knower am the awareness. When you say, you resolve the I, the knower, in awareness. Why? Because awareness, there is no knower apart from other than the awareness. Knower is inseparable from awareness. Like how the illuminator is inseparable from the light, knower is non-separate from the awareness, non-distant from the awareness. Understand now? And knower, there's no knower minus awareness. Understand? Therefore, the understanding this is resolving the knower in awareness. Therefore, you can say, I the knower am the awareness, the consciousness. But resolve. Isn't clear now? Then later on, once you understand, and this awareness, what is this awareness? This awareness is what? One. Okay, this awareness is the self. Awareness is the self. There is no truth. The reality of the body, reality of the mind, reality of the sense powers, truth of everything is what now? This awareness. But how do you arrive at this truth of everything? There is no way of arriving at the truth of everything other than knowing the knower. Know the knower, discover the reality, understand now, resolve the knower in awareness, understands awareness is the truth of everything, not only truth of this, truth of all the beings that are here. Sentient, insentient, mobile, immobile, now visible, invisible, gross and subtle, all that is here, the essence of everything is this pure awareness. There is no satyam other than this awareness. Understand? That is only reality is awareness. Why? Because, how do you say, this reality is the same in everything. Understand? Same in all the beings in everything. How do you say here? Hey, H2O. Is the same in all the waves, in the entire ocean. Similarly, here the reality, this awareness is the same means. When you say sameness, how do you talk about the sameness? When you say it is the sameness implies indivisibility of the awareness. My awareness is different from your awareness? No. The awareness is one, indivisible. Not only indivisible because it is partless, not only it's indivisible, partless, it is the whole. Understand now? Therefore, indivisible partlessness implies the sameness, implies the indivisible partless wholeness. Understand now? Therefore, it is what now? One, oneness. Understand now? There is no second thing now. You have to say what now? There is no second reality. There is no second thing other than that. Non-duality of the reality. Why you can't say only reality? Hey, why we have to say non-dual? Because there is no second thing. What about this? The wood there. Wood alone is there. Table is not there, we say. We don't say table is not there at all. But still table is there because it is no independent existence. Therefore, it is not a second thing. Okay? It is mithya. Two orders are the same reality. Actually, satyam is what? What is there is one. What is countable here? You can't count wood. Wood, you can't count the table. Wood number one, table number two. Can you count it? You can't say number two. You can't count because it doesn't belong to the same order of reality. Therefore, what is there is only wood in the form of table. Understand? So what is there is only reality which is in the form of the universe. The whole jagat is Ishvara. When you say, you have resolved, where are you now? Where is I? Where is individuality? Understand? This is resolving this. Everything is Ishvara means, this vision of non-duality is what? The Parama Bhaktihi, Uttama Bhaktihi we saw in the last class. Why I am talking this again? Because I didn't say certain resolving things etc. last class. Today I want to say that. Understand? So, this Uttama Bhaktihi means not being able to see a second thing other than the reality. Understand? All that is there is not in you do see the different colors and varieties and pluralities and multiplicities and everything you do see. But you know duality is empirically real. Non-duality is absolutely real. I don't see into physical eyes, I don't see trees, not like that. We do see everything. All the colors, we do see differences. We know our hunger, we know our thirst, everything, all the experiences are there. But you know they're all mithya. Understand now? Mithya means what? Actually, the vastu is the second vastu. Reality is one. This becomes ascertained in contemplation. When you how do you have this vision? This is what is Uttama Bhaktihi. But farther Uttama Bhaktihi, when one becomes free from all limitations, one is free, one revels in fullness. That is what we are interested in, isn't it? You are not shaken by anything else because in recognizing oneness of reality, non-duality of reality, in recognizing and resolving your identity with that reality, okay, in resolving the isolation and also individuality, what happens is you discover fullness, you revel in fullness means you don't need to change any situations for your happiness. You will just be yourself. You are being oneself. Understand now? Being happy means being oneself. One's own self. This is what? But for this, you need what? Contemplation is the means. Understand? First, you need to understand the Swarupam, then constantly dwell upon the nature of the reality. That is why he says, Bhava Susthitihi. Understand now? Without having any other object of thought, and here just the attention of the mind, being focused on the nature of reality, wherein the meditated difference also is not there. Why? Because the mind's attention is focused on its own Swarupam. Therefore, there are not two different things are not here, isn't it? Then that contemplation, when really, again and again, then it results in this vision. Once you know that, once it becomes very clear, then you will see all the duality. But still, in your understanding, you cannot miss the truth behind all of them. It's like when we see these objects, we cannot miss the light. In seeing every object, what you cannot miss is one invariably present thing in all the variable illumined objects is what? Light. Isn't it? You don't miss it. Otherwise, before contemplation, before knowing, before contemplation, even though you know there's a chair which is comes to light because of light, you know, but somehow you miss the light. Understand now? It is naturally you see the light inseparably along with all the illumined objects. Like that in your perceptions, in all your thoughts, you can never miss. Understand now? awareness also. So being aware of awareness is possible because of this contemplation, and which will help you result in, help you have this vision of the non-duality, which is the uttama bhaktihi, which is mokshaha. Understand? Now, he continues, he wants to talk about it, same thing. Little Ramana will really make clear your heads a lot. Sometimes the repetition is a must, because you see after 1 week's time, this with this text. Now he says, look at this beauty of this here. Hritsthale mana swasthata kriya. Hritsthale mana swasthata kriya. Bhakti yoga bodhascha nischitam. Bhakti yoga bodhascha nischitam. Hritsthale mana swasthata kriya. Hritsthale mana swasthata kriya. Bhakti yoga bodhascha nischitam. Bhakti yoga bodhascha nischitam. I will just go straight to this verse today. I'm not reciting other verses. This is the verse we have to do today, isn't it? See, he says, swasthata. See the word swasthata. Swasthata is a beautiful word in Sanskrit. You will understand this. Swasthata means health. Swasthyam means health. Swasthata is equal to health. Swasthyam also means health. If you say healthy person means swasthaha. Who is healthy? If you say, I can say he is healthy means what? In Sanskritam, you have to say somebody is healthy. What is the word you say? Swasthaha. In Tamil also, some areas we say swasthama irukkingla. I don't know whether you use in Sri Lankan Tamil. No, some Manipravala Bhasha we have swasthama irukkela. This is very common. No, I tell you, swa means what? One's own. Swagriham means what? One's own house. Okay? Swa vastu, one's own things. Swasthanam. One's own place. Tannidathil iruttal. Understand? That's a beautiful expression. Swasthana means what? Swasthana means one's own place. Understand? Swasthanam. What is your sthanam? What is your place? If you ask, first we have body. Okay? First identity with the body. Where is I? Body. What is your sthanam? Body. What is your, when you say, I'm tall, I'm hefty, I'm shabby, I'm all these things, you say, sthanam is where? Body. And then when you say, I'm very dull today, no, I feel low. What is, sthanam is what? Mind. Oh, I'm very, very hungry. Sthanam is what? Prana. I'm very thirsty. Prana. Understand now? Like this, sthanam always is somewhere. We always sit in somebody else's house. We don't stay in our own house at all. I understand. It's like going and sitting next door. India is popular. Here, people don't do that. In India, we do that. All old people, they don't know how to pass their time. They go to the next neighbor's house. And sometimes people will go out and then gossip also and come back. Then they're healthy also, in a way. That's a different way of being healthy, okay? At least you don't go mad because somebody is there to talk about and share and then not last thing. Here, what to do? So it's what going out and going to somebody's house, okay? It is a parasthanam. Parasthanam becomes your swasthanam. Why? Because you don't stay at home. You always go outside. You are in parasthanam. Living in parasthanam. Not in one's own place. Suppose if you don't go outside, if you stay in your own house, no problem. Isn't it? Swasthanam. So, being in parasthanam means you are sick. You are unhealthy. you are in your own place, you are healthy. Therefore, swastaha means swasmin tishthati yaha saha swastaha. One who remains oneself is swastaha. I am doing a little more explanation here because what all Swamiji explained in the class, people, when they didn't do proper editing of this. Okay, swastaha means swasmin tishthati yaha. Yaha swasmin tishthati. One who remains in oneself is swastaha, healthy person. Okay, who is the healthiest person? Who enjoys the perfect health? You know, jnani is swastaha. No way. He swastaha swasmin tishtati. Tannil irikkiravan, tanah irikkiravan is the healthiest person. How can you be yourself if you do not know what you are? That is the problem. To be healthy, one needs to be by oneself. To be with oneself, to be by oneself, to be oneself, one needs to know what one is, the self is. If you nee yaarne unakku theriyadunna, how can you say I am with myself? It's impossible. The whole Shastra teaching is to help you to be by yourself. Understand? To be by yourself. You can never be by yourself. Always you need something or the other. TV venum, chiril venum, music venum, dance venum, going out, something or the other. Can you just be by yourself? Or should I be by myself? And now you don't need to be by yourself because there's so many things there to keep you busy. But there, if there is nothing to keep you busy, what will you do? You cannot talk on the phone. You cannot watch serial, watch TV. You cannot read any books. There is nobody to talk to you. Nor should you be talking to yourself. Understand? Just be yourself. Is it possible? Impossible. Understand now? That is what? Be. It is a very big lesson, big training. Understand? Summa irukkala easy. Swami tells a big story about it. You know, in India, some temples, there will be some sadhus. Just have to be just by themselves. And that's a very great thing. To be by oneself, not simply sitting idle and then thinking, imagining, just being oneself. These also are fed. Understand? And once, it seems, one officer came, endowment officer, he saw the sadhu being fed every day. He's simply sitting here, not doing any action. Okay? Now, he doesn't do any work. Lazy man. Don't feed him. He said, don't give him any food. The sadhu asked him, come here. You can't sit here. You have to sit with me, okay? Like me. He asked. The sadhu, no thinking, no company, understand now? Just, he's just always in contemplation, this sort of thing. And he understood how difficult it is to sit for, even for half an hour. He was just moving. Don't move, he said. Hey, summa irupadu avala illa, easy illa. Understand, summa iru sollara, or Mahatma said. Understand, summa iru sollara. Understand, pesamara, not talking. But mentally the smoke comes in. No, not like that. Not, he means, just being with oneself, not that easy. Understand? Physically, you may be physically be very active, but still you can't be by yourself. Amazing, isn't it? So, then found it very difficult to sit. Then he got up and went and he said, okay, summa irukku swami ki moonu pattai, okay? You have to give every 3 tablespoons. He said, not oru pattai, 3 pattais, okay? And then he wrote and kept, Swami used to tell a very nice joke. He just used to laugh and laugh when he tells a story. Why I'm saying, summa iruttal means what? Being yourself. Being yourself, being by yourself, being with yourself, okay? Being sit with oneself. Is what? In fact, summa irithal, isn't it? Summa irithal does not mean that you should be physically inactive, physically lazy and idle. No, that's not true. Here. I mean, swasthane swasmin tishthati yaha saha. Swastaha means one who is in one who is one with oneself, one who just remains on his own self is what? Swastaha, healthiest person. Who is the one who can, who just remains as oneself, one's own self? One who knows the self. Look at this. One who knows the self alone can be by oneself, can just remain oneself. This is what, if you do not know the self, you are always parastaha, not swastaha. You are parasthanaha, okay? You are in parasthana means you are very sick, you are not healthy. Is that sonda edathil irundha thaan? That is why I told you once long ago, I don't know whether you remember that song, TMS song, okay? And then the Pambu is always very scared of this Garuda. And when he's, you know, conscious, Shiva stands for consciousness, okay, awareness. And the Pambu, the snake, goes and, you know, sits around, forms an ornament for Lord Shiva and sits there happily. Then and his snake always used to go and hide when he seeks the Garuda. And sitting on Shiva's place, it's asking, "Hey Garuda, Saukyama." And Garuda says, "Okay, how are you?" And Garuda says, "Yaram irukkum idathil irundhu vittal ellam saukyame." Okay, now you're sitting where? And Bhagavan's neck, okay? It's your place. Bhagavan's place is your place. Understand now? Amazing thing, no? I like it very much. நல்ல பாட்டு. இருக்கும் இடத்தில் இருந்து விட்டால் எல்லாம் சௌக்கியம். இருக்கும் இடத்தில் இருந்து விட்டால், அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் நோ, இஃப் யூ ஆர் வேர் யூ ஹேவ் டு பி, எல்லாம் சௌக்கியமே. சௌக்கியம், வேர் இஸ் சௌக்கியம்னா வாட் இஸ் சுக்கம், வேர் இஸ் ஃபுல்னஸ். இஃப் யூ ரிமைன் வேர் யூ ஹேவ் டு பி, தென் யூ ஆர் ஹெல்தி. அது இஃப் யூ ஆர் நாட் வேர் யூ ஹேவ் டு பி, தென் யூ ஆர் சிக். அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் நோ, திஸ் இஸ் ப்ராப்ளம்ஸ், ஆல் தீஸ் திங்ஸ். சோ சிவா இஸ் ஹூ, ஸ்னேக் இஸ் மைண்ட். அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் நோ, where is Shiva? Who is Shiva actually? The Shiva is awareness. When Bhagavan's place means, if Bhagavan is your place, resolving I, the knower, in awareness is what? Remaining in one's own self. Swastaha, healthy. What is awareness? One indivisible, partless, whole. The non-dual reality. Then what now? Which is of the nature of fullness, limitlessness. So what you say? All that is there is awareness. I am awareness. So I am everything. Understand now? Everything is what? This identity is what? Your limitlessness. You are reveling in fullness. That is what? Swastaha. Happiest person is the healthiest person. Who is the happiest person? No, we say happiest person is the one who is oneself. Swastaha. Healthiest person. Isn't it? So swastaha. So swastata. Swasthya. Okay? Here. Swastata. He says here. Swastata is what? Manaha swastata. What is swastata? What is real health here? Actually, what do we mean by swastata here? Okay, he says, mind, attention of the mind, first in contemplation, first initially, you know the truth of the knower is awareness, you understand. Then afterwards, you study about awareness again and again and again, you inquire into the nature of the reality. How do you enquire into the nature of the reality? Now we've been studying in Bhagavad Gita. How reality is nityaha. How it is eternal. How consciousness is something. Consciousness cannot have beginning. Consciousness cannot have end. Because there's no time limitation there. Because time itself is relative. You understand. Okay, how consciousness is spatially limitless. How it is object-wise limitless. How, understand like this? We enquire into the nature of reality, introspection. Understand now? Enquiring into the nature of reality. If you do not know what is the reality, how can you enquire into the nature of reality? First, you understand the reality is available for recognition as pure knowledge. Then, understand, then having understood that, then you enter into the enquiry into the nature of reality. You enquire into the nature of reality, as unfolded in the Shastram, which you understand with the help of the teacher, okay, it's a constant. Then once you have clear understanding, then you can focus your attention on the nature of the reality, which is called contemplation, isn't it? And so in contemplation, in due course of time, helps you have the ascertained vision of the nature of reality, means that what happens? You see, you are with the world, you are physically active, you are doing the needful. At the same time, in your understanding, it is very clear, all that is I see here are mithya, and vastu, actual vastu is satyam. You can never miss awareness in anything that you, all the actions, the doer, the done, the doing, everything you see in awareness. Understand now? You never miss it. That's why Achyuta. Understand now? I told you many times. Achyuta. Okay. Nalvave nalvadadu is what now? That which does not slip away from your awareness. You never miss. I told you, being aware of awareness. Being aware of everything else. You're also aware of yourself, being aware of everything in awareness. That you will never miss it. That vision will always, vision of non-duality is what now? That's what? Manaha. When that is there, manaha hritsthale. Okay? Hritsthale. Hritsthale. Hritsthalam is what? Hritsthalam means, really, literally speaking, Hrit means heart. Many people translate, this is the very funny translations of this Upadeshasaram text. Be very careful here, okay? Hrit literally means heart. Sthalam means place. Hrit sthalam means what? People say the place of heart. That's what people translate. Least speaking, Hrit sthalam means the heart of, the core of the, you know, wave is H2O. What is the heart hritsthalam of wave? H2O. I have used many words. Atma, the self, the truth, the reality, all words, synonyms. Now you have one more word, okay? Hritsthalam. The heart of everything. What is the center? Hritsthalam is the center. Now where is, you know, people I used to ask, you know, we say this. Okay, Baker Street in the heart of London. As if I know the London very well, I just tell people, okay? and then there's a different thing. But still some conversation, okay, we say Baker Street in the heart of London, okay? Did it really mean heart or what? Mm-hmm. We know that heart means somewhere in the center. But here, there's a wrong expression. But here, hritsthalam means what? What is the H2O? Is the hritsthalam of every wave. In fact, hritsthalam of the entire ocean full of waves is H2O. Hritsthalam. Understand? Similarly, now, the hritsthalam of the whole jagat is awareness. And hritsthalam of the mind also is what? Every thought is what? Hritsthalam of the body is awareness. Hritsthalam of every prana is awareness. Hritsthalam of every thought is what? Awareness. Like every thought, the truth is, where does every thought exist? Not outside of awareness. Where does this I thought exist? In awareness. Understand? That's why, therefore, first you recognize aware, knower is awareness. Then you resolve knower in awareness. You understand the hritsthalam of everything is awareness. Then mind. What does the mind do? Mind remains absorbed in that awareness. That means mind being not able to, okay, take the attention away from awareness in everything. Once you know the light is the illuminator, definitely you always, in your perception of the illumined, you cannot miss the light in the illumined. Similarly, you never miss awareness. Hritsthalam. Understand? So when the mind remains absorbed in the, absorbed means there is, mind attention cannot be taken away from, cannot miss this awareness. Then you say, hritsthale, manaha, okay? Hritsthale, when the mind is there, that is what is swasthata. Understand now? Mind abiding in oneself is what now? Mind abiding in oneself is mind being itself. Swasthata. Understand? It's a very beautiful thing, isn't it? Because I was always wondering, amazing word in Sanskrit word. Swasthyam, health. Understand now? Swastaha is healthy. Swasthata is also health. No? Otherwise you are not healthy, but otherwise we have a lot of problems. Isn't it? All these problems are because you are not in your own place. Sondha eduthu irukkanum. So manaha, swasthata, okay? That is what he says. In fact, ada the kut. Understand? All that we do, what all we do? So many actions we do. We pursue all these things to live this life, you know. And we do so many other things also. Everything is ultimately for what? For this mind remaining in its own swarupam, the core person. Listen now, the core self is what? Manaha. Listen now, hritsthale swasthata. Manaha swasthata. Hritsthale means mind abiding in its own swarupam. Is hritsthale, okay, is what? In fact, is the, in fact, having the vision of non-duality and which is mokshaha. Understand now? Which is freedom actually. And therefore, that is the ultimate thing. What now? Kriyaha. That is the, now we can say kriya. Kriya means what? Any activity we do, all our actions. Then bhaktihi. Next, to see the next line now. Bhaktihi. Bhaktihi is what? Devotion. Yogaha. No, all the word yoga we use. Okay, anything practiced for preparing the mind for knowledge is yoga. Then bodhaha, very knowledge. Knowledge. All these, he just says everything. Hey, bhakti, yoga. Not bhakti yoga. Bhaktihi, yogaha. Bodhaha, knowledge, and kriya, activities, all are definitely nischitam. What is that? Ultimately for this mind recognizing its swarupam, its own swarupam, and abiding there, which is moksha. Manam tan irupai, தன் சொரூபத்தை அறிந்து அதனோடு சொரூபத்தில் ஒன்றி இருத்தலே முக்தி. அதற்குத்தான் ஆல் தீஸ் திங்ஸ். வாட் ஆர் தீஸ் திங்ஸ் ஃபார்? வாட் ஆர் தீஸ் ஆக்டிவிட்டீஸ் ஃபார்? ஆக்டிவிட்டீஸ், ஆல் தீஸ் ஆக்டிவிட்டீஸ், ஆல் திஸ் பிராக்டிஸ் ஆஃப் யோகா எக்ஸெட்ரா, ஆல் திஸ் போதகா, திஸ் நாலெட்ஜ் ஆல்சோ, பக்தி, டிவோஷன், ஆல் ஆஃப் தெம் ஹவ் ஷுட் கல்மினேட் இன் திஸ் விஷன். வாட் இஸ் த விஷன்? விஷன் ஆஃப் ஒன்னஸ் ஆஃப் ரியாலிட்டி. So this culminating in the vision of the oneness of reality implies what? Mind remaining absorbed in its own swarupam. How can the mind remain absorbed in its own swarupam? That's not, there's no knowledge of the swarupam. That is why we know first. Then that is mukti. First, you know, they discover the swarupam, then dwell upon the swarupam, then ascertain the swarupam, then you cannot miss the swarupam. This is what is. First, know, discover with the help of the shastram, then again and again enquire into the nature of the swarupam, then contemplate upon the swarupam, constantly dwell upon that swarupam which you have understood, then ascertain it. Once you have ascertained it, then you will miss your swarupam. The mind abiding in its own swarupam is what? The ultimate purpose of all these things. Activities, yogaha, bhaktihi, and everything. Whatever you do. Once this mind abides in its own swarupam means, understand now? And in Srimad Bhagavatam, we say, you know, that's why every gopi, you know who is a gopi? Gopi is, all these gopis go after one Krishna. And we always mistake the story. Really speaking, Krishna is not a bad man, okay? This is all we have to understand. So Krishna is fullness, swarupam. Krishna is awareness. Understand, Krishna is the pure awareness, the fullness. Krishna is personified, fullness person, ananda swarupaha. Understand now? And that every mind wants what? One's own swarupam. The swarupam of every wave is H2O. Like that, every mind swarupam is what? One individual partless whole, the Krishna. All the gopis go only in search of Krishna. Understand? And when the contemplation, you know, in contemplation, every mind remains absorbed in what? Swarupam. Then they do not see other than Krishna. Understand now? They don't see anything else. But attention goes away, Krishna disappears. Then they see, okay, other, oh, gopi, where is the gopi? And every gopi is with the Krishna only. It's about Rasalila. You know that Rasalila? Have you heard about Rasalila? Mm-hmm. You know, all these gopis stand together and they stay one, you know, they have played Dandiya, okay? But they say that this is called Rasalila. They had to play Gopi, Anganam, Anganam, Madhyago, Krishna. In between every gopi, there's one Krishna. Because like every wave, there is water, isn't it? Similarly, every mind, there is awareness. So in between, because when you stand in a circle, between every Krishna, look at this abstract fact, abstract thing. And Bhagavatam tries to show that, how every gopi is standing, in between every gopi, one Krishna. Look at one Krishna, it becomes many Krishnas, and stands in between every gopi. And Rasalila. Why Rasalila? Rasovesaha. Essence is Krishna. Understand? Where all the minds, the Rasalila is something which really depicts every mind remains or hrithale swastata. Understand now? Mind abiding in its own sorupam is what? Reveling in fullness. This is what is Rasalila. Rase. Okay, Leenaha Bhavanti. No, all this. That's not Rasalila actually. But people talk about it, they don't understand it. Okay, Bhagavatam should be understood properly with Sridhari Tika and explained. And this is what is Rasalila, isn't it? So, why they show, how to show that every wave the truth is H2O? How will you show that? Personify it. Krishna is like, no, awareness. So, what the truth of every mind? Fullness, awareness, isn't it? Therefore, Krishna has to be there what? With every gopi there is Krishna. One Krishna is one, but gopis are many. Understand? Like water is one, waves are many. Awareness is one, minds are many. Isn't it? Like that, therefore, this would understand one indivisible awareness being one indivisible, partless, non-dual whole. Understand now? This becomes clear. Then, once you know the fullness, it has served its purpose. Understand now, everything has culminated. What are these actions for? Ultimately, if we discover fullness, served its purpose. What is this yoga for? Discovered purpose. What is this, understand now, knowledge for? This is the purpose. What is bhakti? Come on, bhaktihi, yogaha, bodhaha, knowledge. All activities, all of them are ultimately for discovering the fullness, okay, in the form of what? This, the fullness in the form of mind abiding in its own swarupam. Understand? Not going to any other house, coming back and remaining in one's own house. I'm just going to be just within my own house. That means what? My own place. Understand? This is what is, I don't know whether I told you here, this is what is implied by Ekanta Seva. When you go to temples, have I told you before this? In Tirupati we have Ekanta Seva. In Shiva temples, every day in big temples, there's a puja called Palliyarai Pujai. You know Palliyarai Pujai? The last, in Shiva temples, you have Devi's Murti separately and the Shiva also will be there. And Palliyari Puja is the last puja in every temple. Before the priests close the temples, they will offer milk, abhishek, milk, no food, no, night, no? Before just going to bed, just the milk, prasadam. Like we also drink milk and go to bed, Bhagavan also has offered prasadam milk. You know, they put some kumkum and all that, no? This saffron, and boil the milk with little sugar, and then sweet, just they won't give much, just only one spoon. We'll be very tasty prasadam, they offer. But they won't give much, only one spoon, okay? But they offer this in a small container for Lord Shiva. Then after the puja, they'll say, the Shivas, the Utsav Murti, the Moolavar will be there in both the temples, Shiva's temple and Devi's temple. From Utsav Murti of Shiva will be taken from this the Moolavasthanam, Moolasthanam to Devi's place. See, Devi doesn't come to her place. He goes to Devi's place. You know, Devi, who is that? That actually, the contemplative mind is Devi there. and awareness just reveals. Understand now? Awareness becomes revealed to the contemplative mind. That is what is Shiva's awareness and going there. And what happens there? The mithya is resolved in satyam. Palliyarai, this is actually we should take it very properly in the sense, right sense. There, where is Devi? Devi and Shiva become one there. Understand? That means the mind is resolved in awareness. Resolved means actually mind is, that's the meaning. One, the mind abides in its own swarupam. Understand? Then there is no two. There are not two different entities. There is one. Mind recognizing its swarupam, dwelling on the swarupam, ascertaining the swarupam, then remaining absorbed in its swarupam. Manam paramparulil onri iruthal. Understand? Then paramparul alone is there for the mind. There are not two things. That is what? When fusion of two things, there is just the love alone is there. Understand now? One has to fuse in another thing. Understand? The mind remaining absorbed in reality is what? Fusion. What is there? Just that is expression of fullness, is love. Devi is not there anymore, alone. Understand now? Bhagavan revealed, Swarupam is revealed to Devi. For such a mind, Bhagavan's grace is there. Understand now? If you search, Bhagavan comes to you. Then they keep together, they do arati together. Why? That is mukti. Understand? It was hristale manaswastata. Mind remaining absorbed in its own swarupam. Then now, understand? Where is mind? Only satyam. Understand now? Then do, that is a palliyara puja is very important. People don't stay for palliyara puja. People will rush back. 9 o'clock in the night, so we're very sleepy. So nobody stays for that puja. Mostly priests will be there. I just go sometime somewhere around the temple because for prasadam. And then Tiruvannamalai somewhere, and people won't be crowded. Some big temples, sometimes no, occasionally. And some other temples, nice big Shiva temples we go. Most people go away because of inconveniences. But in fact, it is in for Murugan also, even though he is single, even there is a Rakala Puja in Payani we have. And in Tirupala, in Vaishnava temple, they do Ekanta Seva, Eka Anta. Understand now? Ante Ekam. Kadasil Ennanna. The whole day you see all this bubbling of life, full of things. And Eka Antam, Ekanta Seva. At last, Eka means just the whole Jagat in understanding resolves in Bhagavan. You say everything is Bhagavan, you say Ekanta Seva. They do Arati, have Prasadam, close the temple. Why? Darshan is over. We're free, liberated. Go home. Understand? Over. Mukti, you're free. Temple is closed means you are liberated. Understand now? Anneki Sanidhya Satyachana is, when the temple is locked, closed, free. Understand? That is why it's amazing. This is what mind remaining in its own surupam is what actually is what is mokshaha. And that is the culmination of all that we do. Ada the kutu adinalam kariyatla kanna irukkanam, they said. Know that. Why? Because do whatever you want to do, but be conscious of what is the ultimate purpose of all these things. We may be doing any so many things. Never lose hold of your sight of your purpose. Be conscious. That's what they say. See, in all Tamil expressions, lot of expressions, like fun they talk, but highly meaningful. Isn't it? This is what is Hritsthale. Now, I'll explain this. Okay, so now all these actions are doing, that is the purpose. And here, Bhakti also, we already explained what is the best of devotion, we explained already. And next word comes is what? bodha also, you know, bodha, knowledge, you know. Anything you know about the world also ultimately to get to culminate in the vision of the oneness of reality wherein mind abides in its own swarupam. Isn't it? Mind abiding in its own swarupam. Manam tan swarupatil, swarupamah irikkinra paramurulil ondrudal. Understand? Ondrudal means, it's not that it doesn't do any activities or anything. Still you will be free. You will be doing everything. But in your vision, your understanding, you never lose that. Once you have understood 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, you can even the midnight you are woken up and ask what 1 plus 1 is equal to, you will not say 3, you won't say that. Even then you will say 2 because so clear. Similarly, this vision also is what? It will be so clear. You will be doing everything. The vision will be clear. Then once the mind abides in its own swarupam, then that's all. Nothing can shake the mind. Mind revels in fullness. Mind doesn't need to change anything externally for its full happiness. Understand? And mind is Ishvara. And mind, not mind is Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara. You can say, I am Ishvara. Isn't it? That's what manaha ristale. This is what bodhaha knowledge also is for. Ultimately, this is the purpose. And here about the yogaha, all of you have to explain things because we mistake this. Because why yoga is becoming so popular. I did not see this paper, still I had to talk about it, yoga anyway. Because yogaha, when you say anything, yogaha, the word yogaha has two meanings. One meaning is joining. Okay? Joining means what? Fusion of two things into one. Understand now? Really speaking, one never merges in the one. Irandu ara kalathil is not all possible because already is one. Understand? How is it kalathil? How is it possible? Two things must be, distance is what? Always ignorance is the distance. The wave can never become water, never can become one with the water or the ocean. Already wave is ocean because already wave is water. Isn't it? Only the knowledge, as long as it does not know the truth, it is as though distant. Once it knows the truth, it is recognizes its inseparability. This is what is mukti, isn't it? This is called yogaha is equal to knowledge. Recognition of this swarupam being awareness and understanding. Everything being, once the mind, everything being non-separate from that awareness is what? Inseparable awareness is, in fact, the yogaha. Knowledge is yoga, one meaning. And another meaning of the word yogaha means what? Anittum parambarule, nothing is separate from Ishvara, the truth. That understanding is yoga. Then next yogaha means anything which prepares the mind for this knowledge also is yoga. This knowledge is yoga. Everything is Ishvara. This knowledge is yogaha. Anittum parambarule is knowledge is yogaha. And anything that you do which prepares the mind for this knowledge also is what? Yogaha. That is why we have what? Karma yogaha. We studied, we are going to see in Gita class what is karma yogaha. Understand? Whatever action you do, if that action, all the actions you do, okay, those actions, if they can contribute for the mental preparedness for this knowledge, then the karma becomes yoga. It's called karma yoga. So karma yoga means bhakti is not separate from karma yoga. Understand now? Bhakti is also what now? Expression of your love for Bhagavan is bhakti, isn't it? So here, love for Bhagavan means whether you do kayikam karma you do, vachikam karma you do, okay, you praise Bhagavan, you offer attentions to Bhagavan, or you meditate upon Bhagavan. This is all what? All the, okay, even all actions, it's all religious activity also becomes what? Action only, anyway, isn't it? Religious activity, sacred karma, is also what? Karma only, still is activity. But even this karma becomes yoga, understand, if there is purushartha nischaya. If minus purushartha nischaya, if knowledge of the truth is not the ultimate end of goal, end of life, then there is no yoga at all. Please understand. However ethical you are, still there is no yoga. Manam panbada udohindra yellame yohanda. Understand? So if there is no Purusharth Nischaya, what is this mind? Why should the mind be prepared? Why should the mind be pure? Why should the mind be steady? What is the purpose? Understand, if there is no moksha is not the end, moksha being the end is not very clear, knowledge being the only means is not very clear, knowledge and moksha being identical is not very clear, okay, then there is no Purusharth Nischaya, there is no yoga. Please be clear. Yogaha means what? Anything you do becomes yoga if there is Purusharth Nischaya. So karma, if it contributes to our mental preparedness, antakarna shuddhi and naischalyam, then it is yoga. The bhakti also is what now? Bhakti we saw what? Uttama bhakti is everything is isha when you say uttama bhakti. Otherwise, if it is now, otherwise expression of playing role of devotee as we saw earlier, by kayikam karma, vachikam karma, manasam karma, by doing physically, orally and by meditating also, ishara, all these are karma only, activities. They also become yoga if it is Purusharth Nischaya. Otherwise, without Purusharth Nischaya, I am worshipping the Lord, I am praying to the Lord, still it's a punya karma, you will get some punyam. You will get something, okay? Artha kamas, you will be blessed artha kamas. It may not, religious, I told religious person, you not be ethical and spiritual, then you are just a merely religious person means there is no yoga. Understand now? Therefore, you have to understand what is yoga properly here. There is no yoga. Then we say, actually, mainly people talk about the Ashtanga Yoga. Patanjali's eightfold limbs of yoga, which again is a discipline, a preparatory discipline for knowledge. We have to understand the limitation of Ashtanga Yoga also. People get stuck with Ashtanga Yoga, they think this itself will give them everything. Understand? Without, Shankara says very clearly, swasthanam, if the mind cannot abide in its own swarupam, it is always parasthaniyam manaha. It is always outside. Which is outside, there is no sukham. That's why we call home. No house, okay? Not just a building. You come back, you feel at home. That's why it's home. Similarly, where do you feel at home? Understand? Being yourself is feeling at home. Being at home. Understand? Really speaking, that's what real sukham. Where is sukham? You are sukham yourself. Being yourself is being happy. Being healthy and being happy also. So sukham, so swasthanam is sukham, sukasthanam. There is no sukasthanam outside of swasthanam, okay? Outside of yours, the one's own place, there is no sukham. Swasthanam eva sukasthanam na. Tan nirupe tan sukham na. Understand? There is no other way, there is no nothing outside. That's why it's so emphasized, so much is emphasized. So that's why knowledge is the only means. For which definitely one needs to know the Swarupam of the Atma. Then again one has to inquire into the nature of the Swarupam. And again contemplate a point and ascertain it. Once ascertain and then it's always, you will be doing everything, you will be physically active, you will be doing things, but still you will never lose sight of your own Swarupam. Understand? That is what is mind remaining in its own Swarupam. Hritsthale manaha. And okay, swastata. Understand now? Remaining, abiding its own Swarupam. That is what is actually needed. For that, you need this jnanam. But all of the disciplines are not enough. The disciplines serve as indirect means. Why? For this was to be in one's own swarupam. The mind abide. How indirect means? In terms of preparing the mind for knowledge, they serve as means. Therefore, it becomes an indirect means for the sukham, atma sukham, really speaking, they are direct means. Knowledge is the direct means, not yoga. Understand now? That is why we have to understand Ashtanga Yoga also. We have to understand all these things, eightfold. We have a quick look at it. We say, what are the Ashtanga Yoga? We say, Yamaha, Niyamaha, okay, Asanam. We say, we have pratyahara, pranayamaha, we have pratyahara, pranayamaha, dhyanam, dharanam, dhyanam, samadhi. We have these eightfold limbs, okay? I can explain again, I'm going to explain in Gita class, not immediately, later on sometimes, we'll see in detail. what is Eightfold Ashtanga Yoga. But main thing, Vedanta always emphasizes Yamaha, Niyamaha also. But so-called people who teach other things now, they explain only what? They give importance only for asanam and pranayama. Because they are the highly marketed, okay, commercialized, the best-selling limbs. And then you can get anything in the world. People also fall because so insecure. People think only of the physical health. Understand? It also helps. It also helps to some extent to keep the mind and all that. It keeps in good humor, but without jnanam. Okay? There's no... But Shastram says, without these Ashtanga Yoga also, not all the eightfold limbs, okay, some limbs also, just Vedanta study and vichara, constant vicharaha itself is enough for clarity. Because all that you need is clarity here. Okay, that is why Vedanta Shastra subject matter, understand subject matter of the Vedanta Shastram and inquiry into the subject matter of the Shastram and having clarity itself is enough. Without many practicing, many limbs also don't need to practice. If you practice, they are all very good. Our rishis have contributed so much. They're also wonderful. If needed, you can use it. If you're okay, you have certain composure, mental composure, your certain composure is there. Really speaking, Shastram does not emphasize that one should go through all these eightfold limbs. Not necessary. Just study Shastram, then actually that helps you to have enough vichara, enough enquiry, and helps you, blesses you with what you need to achieve. Understand? That's for help you to have your mind absorbed in its own sorupam, which is the ultimate, which is nothing bigger than that and greater than that. Okay? So we'll see. Now we say Yamaha. When you say, the word Yamaha means restrain. Restrain, when you say control. That means what? Avoiding certain wrong things. Okay? Is what? Wrong actions is Yamaha. Don'ts. Yamaha. So not doing what is not proper, avoiding the improper activities, improper things, not doing the wrong things is what? Yamaha. And what is Niyamaha? Niyamaha means definitely doing what is proper, what is appropriate. Isn't it? Definitely doing. And here, even if we can say, even having every day twice a day shower, at least once a day shower, okay, and all that, and eating after shower, like the small things, also good things, all healthy habits. Hygiene, the whole jagat, we can go and teach hygiene. People don't need to come and teach hygiene sanitation, really speaking. Even the dirty country, India, and we had all the best good habits, really speaking. Name attention, every day, eat after shower, eat after this, keeping one's body clean, bahis shaucham, antas shaucham, inner pure clarity, cleanliness, and external cleanliness. Internal, external cleanliness is also part of keeping oneself clean, physically, mentally, is also what we say, antas shaucham, bahis shaucham, they all come under the niyama itself. What is a must? Everyday must. The all small things which you do very well, and eating well, all those things we do, take care of ourselves. Now, we don't need to tell one thing, eating, isn't it? And how to take, even that's why it's very important, the discipline, even to eat correctly, properly, also the discipline. Otherwise, we ignore anytime, eating anytime, whenever I want. No, I feel hungry, I don't give importance, I wish I don't need to eat. No. All these things, that's a different thing. We have to live with the without going against the order, isn't it? So living in tune with the order implies lots of things, following the disciplines. We take it as a simple thing, isn't it? Eating food habits. In the food habits, if we don't eat the right time, eating at right time, right food, right quantity, right amount, isn't it? Sometimes it's a little different, but still at least maintaining certain discipline, food habits, everything comes under what? Niyamaha. Nimaha is such a vast thing. So we can say doing the appropriate right things, okay, without any, without going by one's likes and dislikes, is what actually niyamaha. Yamaha means definitely avoiding the inappropriate or unwanted, okay, wrong things. Is yama and niyama. Because without yamaha and niyamaha, because yamaha and niyamaha really makes one a highly ethical person also. Because values also come, following values strictly, knowing the value of values is also what come under this yama and niyama. It's not simply one's own physical health and mental things, but also all our actually having shamaha and damaha also come under what here we can say, because doing the right thing, avoiding the wrong thing, now refraining from wrong actions, now deliberately doing the right actions, then you, all your actions go by your knowledge of right and wrong. Dharma means also what sort of, now it implies one being following yamaha and niyamaha implies one being strictly ethical also. Yamaha and Niyamaha. But what people do, people who teach yoga, they do not see the importance of Yama Niyama at all. Nobody really emphasizes being ethical. Without being ethical, however religious you are, however worshipful and prayerful you are, without being ethical, now being religious does not make one a spiritual person. Isn't it? Because this yama niyama helps one to avoid being a split personality because of your integrity, your thought, word and deed. No? The alignment of thought, word and deed helps one to avoid what? Being a split personality. Because very important for the spiritual person is the one who always takes care of his, you know, his togetherness. Togetherness implies what? One being, one's thought, word and deed being an alignment. Now that's very important. It's very difficult. Yama niyama people think, no? Very, very important. So this is also, without this, one cannot be spiritual. Without being, there's no spirituality then. There's no knowledge. There's no preparedness. There's no antakarna shuddhi. There's no, understand, naischalyam. A split personality can never be steady-minded. Understand now? Definitely very, very unsteady person. And impossible for him to recognize the Swarupam and leave alone. Recognize Swarupam itself is difficult. Then recognizing and dwelling upon, inquiring into, ascertaining, abiding in his sthalam. Understand now? Abiding in core person, abiding in the core truth, abiding in one's own Swarupam is impossible. Understand? That is why it's very important to have Purushartha Nischaya also. So Yama Niyama implies very, very importance, implies one being strictly ethical also. Yamaha and Niyamaha. Then comes the Asanam. Asanam, we can say, how much time is there? Please remind me. Okay. Oh, a lot of time. It's an asanam, because we have straight away started the class, no, and that's why I didn't know that. So asanam, you must be, because it's very important to know these things, because everywhere yoga is highly marketed. No, people call me also, they ask me, do you teach any meditation classes? Do you have any meditation classes, Swaminiji? I said, I don't have any meditation classes. They said, meditation class, there'll be one time, okay, we'll have meditation class also. But before that, there's a lot of other classes you have to listen, I said. Then again, no phone call. No way. My God, going and listening and listening, always a boring thing. People want, no. Because I saw one poster in Ilford, you know that? Call God directly.
Local
Swamiji's thing, isn't it? So here, but it's something I saw, that's why people want such things. Why? Because they do not see the connection. Purushartha Nischaya is not there. Look at this, what all problems we have. If Purushartha Nischaya is not there, you do not know the knowledge being the ultimate end. If the knowledge being the ultimate end is not very clear, you will not know the importance of being mentally pure and steady. And you will not know the value of values. Then it is important for one to be strictly ethical. Understand? And as a split personality, really speaking, mind will never be steady. And even if you are ethical, without Purushartha Nischaya, even if you are ethical, highly religious, and even if you are given to practice of meditation, etc., etc., even the mind becomes steady, then you will not know what to do with the steady mind. It's like working very hard, and hard, working very, very hard, earned a lot of money. All banks have big bank balance. My God, I don't know how to spend the money. What will you do with the money? Hey, you should know how to plan your trips and then go for holidays and which, and always book and travel, and then you don't know anything means what will you do with the money. Imagine somebody is given money, doesn't know what to do with the money. What is the use of having the money? Similarly, that is why though knowledge, no Purushartha Nischaya, even if a person is very highly ethical and religious and meditates and has a steady and pure mind, there is no jnanam. Understand? Don't know what to do, what to contemplate on if we do not know. What to do with the steady mind if we do not know. That is possibility of becoming mad. Understand? And we will blame meditation as something wrong thing. Is it clear now? Meditation, suppose it's very difficult, okay? Suppose somebody vigorously practices meditation and has steady mind, still mind, then this person does not know the Swarupma of the Atma, does not know how to feed such a steady mind. The steadier the mind is, you have to feed with the more stuff, healthier stuff. You know that? Like that. You know, there isn't no, the Swarupma is known. That your mind is appropriate. The mind, attention can be focused on Swarupam and contemplation is easy. Then you can have the vision and mind can remain Hrithsthale. Understand now? Mind can abide in its own Swarupam, then you can attain freedom. Otherwise, Swarupam is not known, simply meditate, and suppose a person has steady mind, then one does not know what to do with that. That is when people go sometimes, the mind which has to be, the proper mind becomes, and again what? Disorder. It can result in what? Mental disorder. It can result in, that is why we say be healthy. Let's say monkey should not be sitting quiet. At least do something, be healthy. Understand now? Like that, it is the meditations, we don't understand things with an understanding, the why, what and how, then simply practicing things may result in what? Unpleasant sitting, this insanity. Understand now? Sort of, one can become insane, sort of madness, like freak-like. That's also a problem. It is very important to have Purushartha Nischaya, Jnanam, and that's why being ethical is very important. At the same time, this, we have to understand this. Everything, what it can do, what it cannot do, should be very clear. What is this for? What is meditation for? What will it result in? Once it results in steadiness, what is the steadiness for? It should be very clear. You do not know what is a steadiness for. Oh, mind being steady itself is not moksha. That is where people go wrong. Unsteady mind is, that's a different problem, okay? But mind being steady itself is not moksha. Without, the mind is not steady, moksha is not possible. Okay, because you can't be contemplative, you can't be absorbed, you can't have it. But without mere steadiness of mind itself is not moksha. It's a yoga but not jnanam. Jnanam is moksha, isn't it? It is very, very important to know this. Then we say here, okay, what is asanam now? Let me come to the asanam. Yama and Nema are over. Asanam. See, asanam is a physical exercise, isn't it? It is not a mere physical. If it's a physical, it's some postures. Physical postures. When you learn correctly with the help of a teacher. Asanam alone is not. Nowadays, yoga means only asanam. People know only about asanas. Asanam is one of the eight limbs. Understand? Therefore, yama is given first. Yama and yama are given first. Because it doesn't matter whether you practice or not, but is living a life of dharma is very, very important, isn't it? And asanas, you're practicing certain physical postures, actually, called asanas, physical exercise. It help because it also needs your attention, mind's attention also in doing. You can't mechanically do exercise like this. Therefore, it also sort of, it helps. It becomes a mental discipline. It's also what? It helps you want to maintain one's body trim and healthy. But it doesn't involve as much dynamism as your aerobics or your gym exercises. What you do in gym or other things, when you go aerobics or you go for jogging or running, a lot of things, there it involves more of a lot of dynamism. So you have to exhaust lot of calories also. The more you strain physically, the more dynamism is involved there. More you strain physically, more energy exhaust, and you have to consume more to compensate that also. Whereas yoga, physical postures, when you learn correctly with the help of a teacher, practice correctly, it helps your mind also fit, mind also healthy, the mind's discipline also is there. At the same time, it helps to keep the body trim and fit. And all the asanas are not for all the people. They are in keeping with the age, in keeping with the condition, physical conditions. One has to learn certain things with the help of a proper teacher. Without yoga asanas also, one can keep one's body trim and healthy by doing something else. But doing yoga is fine. It's good, very good. One can practice. One can learn and practice. It's nice, it's good, it's important, isn't it? Is it good for, is eating cashew nuts is good or not? If you say, can I say it's bad? It's good. But you know how much to eat? And then you can eat without eating cashews also, still you can say eating something else also, it can be with simple, other dals also, you can have enough proteins and fats, and you can be healthy, isn't it? Like that. But rich, isn't it? Similarly, here, yoga is good or not? Hey, yoga, asanas, anyway, all Patanjali Rishi's contribution. Our rishis are given everything. It's a wonderful thing. Learn correctly with the teacher, practice, and you can. It will help you to remain physically healthy, mentally also what? Sort of, steady. This is asanams. That is, without purusharthan nischayaha, without knowing the value of knowledge, without knowing the value of values, without following yama and niyama, without being ethical, simply practicing yoga asanas just help you to keep your body trim and healthy. It is not yoga. Understand now? Physical exercise. It is as good as practicing any exercise in the gym or your aerobics. Understand now? It doesn't become yoga. But Patanjali Rishi says, because it causes ashta anga, eight limbs, eightfold limbs of one discipline, isn't it? Asanam. Then we have pranayamaha, asanam. Yamaha, niyamaha, asanam, then pranayamaha. See, pranayamaha, yoga asanam is a physical exercise. Pranayamaha is what? Breathing exercise. See, ayamaha means exercise. Pranaha means breath. So, pranayamaha. Now, I can say pranasya ayamaha, pranayamaha. Understand now? Exercising the breath. Exercising of the breath. So, breathing exercise is what? Pranasya ayamaha, prana ayamaha. You make it one sentence, one long compound word, one compound, this word, what? Pranayamaha. Isn't it? So, pranayamaha, what do we do? Pranayamaha also helps as a mental discipline. And it really becomes a proper internal exercise. In fact, the basic pranayama, pranayama also is a law, it involves lots of exercises, physical, the breathing exercises, and all the exercises everybody cannot do. Okay, all the pranayama has, it's a big thing, understand, not one small thing. Here only one line we have. But pranayama involves, it's a big, you know, lots of things one has to learn about pranayama. And here, but any amount of breathing exercises, any number of exercises we have, for all of them, there's one common basic exercise that everybody does. Even people who are doing Nitya Sandhya Vandana, they have to do some pranayama. Everybody could have seen this, no? Doing all these things, closing one ear like this, it's all part of lot of things. The basic thing is inhaling consciously. Understand now? Inhaling consciously is called, once you inhale, your lungs become what? Full. Every time you inhale, your lungs are filled with the oxygen, isn't it? So it's called, therefore, because it is filled, purayati. Oxygen, nasika dwara, antaha gachati, lungs purayati. Understand now? That's what's called purakam. I want to tell something now. I can tell you something. Look at this. Purakam. Purakam means what? Filling. Purakam. What fills your lungs? Inhalation, isn't it? So, purakam means what? Filling the lungs with the oxygen through inhalation is purakam. In fact, we are constantly filling and we are emptying. Constantly we are doing it. But what? We are not conscious of. But breathing exercise means consciously inhaling, consciously exhaling is breathing exercise. If you are not conscious, it is simply inhalation, simple inhalation, exhalation. If you are conscious of your focus attention, you're consciously doing it, it becomes exercise. So, purakam. Once you fill the, you know, slowly, when you consciously inhale, see, we constantly are inhaling, exhaling, but we're not conscious of it. We don't even know that we're inhaling, exhaling. But when you do the exercise, you're conscious. Attention also is kept there. It helps you to keep the speed of the frequency of thought flow. Understand now? Thereby, it helps you to avoid pressures, blood pressure and all that. Why? Because once you are conscious of the inhalation, exhalation, the thought flow, and the speed of the thought flow is kept in check. Thereby, if there's no fast flow of thoughts, the speed is not, no, very high, then a slow pace, no, thoughts are flowing slowly, then pressure also is kept, not fast, okay, pressure also becomes what? Kept in check. Therefore, when you say, we consciously slowly inhale, then after inhaling, you consciously hold the breath. You fill the lungs, purakam, then hold the breath with the filled lungs. It's called kumbhakam. And like, you know, kumbhakam means what? Holding the breath. First filling, inhale and fill, then hold the breath. Purakam, afterwards, hold the breath first for a few seconds, okay? As long as possible. You can't hold for a long time. Conscious, you're conscious. You have to hold it, otherwise you have to be conscious, otherwise you can't hold it. It's called kumbhakam. Then what again? Then again, after that, when you feel difficult, you can't hold anymore, then you start slowly exhaling consciously. When you exhale, what happens? All the carbon dioxide comes out. Then what? Lungs become what? Empty, isn't it? Therefore, it's called a rechakam. Rechakam means emptying, riktikaranam. Rechayati, okay. Rechaka means what? Rikti karana means. Rikta means empty. Okay, emptying. What happened now? All carbon dioxide, no, goes out. Once you exhaled, again hold the breath. Again what? Kumbhakam. Understand? So Purakam, Kumbakam, then Rechakam, Kumbakam. This is the basic step involved in pranayama. Basis for any all other prana, I don't know, lot other pranayamas, okay? There's so many pranayamas are there, and which one has to learn properly with the teacher. Again, pranayama also, all the techniques, okay, are not suitable for all the people. We be very careful when we learn and when we do it. Understand? But simple thing, basic thing, every day we can do. And now the people have, see, it's a big ocean, okay? And people have taken one or two. It's like taking just and saying, you say all alphabets, Ambatnala. It's like saying that, you know, so many are there. But people have popularized Bhastrika Pranayama. Bhastrika Pranayama, people have, now what is popular in the marketed, well marketed is everywhere, which really may, you know, really the teachers of Bhastrika Pranayamas have been taken to the zenith of fame. Now what is that? You know, they have to really, Bhastrika Pranayama implies actually keeping your two hands closely to your ears, and you have to sit actually in Vajrasana. Vajrasana means sitting on your, okay, not like this, but properly. I can do that. I don't want to do now because class is different, isn't it? Then holding this, I can teach you sometime if you want. This is also good because it doesn't anybody can practice this. It really helps lot of internally. You have lots of exercises. In fact, stretching helps you to avoid all this stuff, and then you can, everything is very good. And then if with this, you have to start inhaling slowly, and then as you inhale, you have take the hands up. What happens when you take up, a lot of space is created for the lungs to expand and inhale well. When, as you exhale, the lungs need to contract, you know, therefore bring it down. So all the, slowly exhale, it goes on. Then this you consciously do it many times, slowly. Then what you do, you start doing it fast and fast and fast. And faster and fastest. Okay, then you do it consciously. Lot of this noise also comes. This noise also comes. So when people talk, this practice is pranayama. Even in the, yes, you can sit down and practice also if there's good climate. Anyway, snakes are around, they'll run away. No, because they'll think, because of the sound you make in the villages. What happened? I noticed one thing. No, the lots of snakes where we had a first. And we had a compressor motor pump, you know. Compressor pump means it won't supply water constantly. Always it just goes, the air comes and then air has to push the water. So the water has to go like, till water comes. Then all the snakes run away from the place. And the same thing happened when you Bhastrika Pranayama practice also. Somewhere snakes are around, they'll run away. Okay? Instead they don't come, but I'm saying, because the hissing sound, not a hissing sound, you had to understand. Then how to do that, we'll do it on Sunday. Sometimes if we are interested, I can show you how to do Bhastrika Pranayama. That itself is, because it's harmless, doesn't involve much difficulty. One is enough to keep the whole system as to move. Now inside, it's a good exercise. I had to consciously do it, so it also helps to avoid sort of, you know, the thoughts. Now it's good for mind also. This pranayama, if you ask me, pranayama is a big ocean, okay? Lots and lots of exercises are there, and all are not good for everybody. Listen, certain pranayama exercises. Even the asanas, some lot of, in this practice, people who are given only to the, constantly given the practice of pranayama and yogasana, like cricket players. What do they do, cricket players? The whole day, all the time, go to the ground, practice, practice, practice. Then go home and eat and sleep and come back and practice. That's the profession that is. What do they do? Whole day, they're only practicing cricket. And one day, then match comes, they have to go and play the match. Then win the game and get the cup. Go back and fall down, some has small things, and again go to the doctor. It's okay, it'll be fine. This is a life, isn't it? It's a profession. Like that, there are people who are given to the practice of just the asanam, and they call themselves yogis also. We cannot be given only to the practice of pranayama and yoga asanas. Understand? It's not practical. And people, what happens? And then they say, okay, then you can have all sorts of, then the, when as a practice, of, like meditation, how you get some things. No, these people may have some sort of mental problems also. That is why we, just doing enough is enough. Everything is not good for everybody. That is why, especially young people, young girls and young boys who have to get married, have to have children, you know, all those things, there are lots of problems are there. Doing this all the time doing this, it will change the system, hormonal disorders also bring in. Very careful. That's why what should be done, what should not be done, this knowledge should be very, very careful. Otherwise, then become important means a problem, isn't it? And then you won't feel hungry, you won't be able to give birth to children. Lots of problems will be there. That is why all the asanas and all the exercises are not for all the people, not to be done. Okay, anything aravukku meenal amirudham nanju. Okay, amirudham nanjaagumna. So we have to do everything properly with the help of a proper teacher. This is so asanam pranayamaha. Then we have pratyaharaha. Pratyaharaha is sort of like shamadamaha. Okay, doing everything in moderation is pratyaharaha. When you say pratyaharaha, in place, no, suppose you see the senses are given to you and sense objects are there, they're meant for enjoying, no, sense objects. But how much you should enjoy? Eating food is important for appeasing hunger. Nothing wrong in eating tasty food. Very, very important to eat tasty food also. Tasteless food, not tasty, healthy, nutritious. Very important. Nutritious, healthy, tasty. So tasteless food, healthy is okay. But tasty, but no, unhealthy is bad. Listen, tasteless and sick, unhealthy, I mean what? Worst. Understand? And they put some sort of thing, I don't know, some happy. Anyway, what do we say here? Very important. But so eat the food, enjoy the taste, but moderation, how much you eat. I already told you about yama nema, no? Like that here again we say here, moderation. Enjoy, so watch TV, how long? There is a moderation, not till 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the midnight. No, early morning, next day morning you have to get up. So that's Brahma Muhurta, you have to, supposed to get up at 4 o'clock. And you watch TV till 4 o'clock. Understand? There's no moderation. Hey, because eyes are there. There's a certain mastery over your ways of, you know, using your senses. This is all what? Moderation enjoying the sense objects and sensory pleasures. See, sensory pleasures are, one need not deprive oneself from enjoying sensory pleasures. Why should you? Means because you need to grow out of that. But then again, having moderation, that means having certain mastery, doing everything enough, isn't it? All any pleasure. It's called what now? It's all pratyaharaha. And also, here I can also say something about the damaha also. Shama dhamma, everything can come under pratyahara. There's a mastery over ways of thinking, and also mastery over senses, and here also mastery over sense on all the organs of body also. Being conscious and being alert about what you are doing, whereas suppose I'm sitting here means I'm talking to all of you, I'm conscious of what I'm doing here. Suppose sometimes I'm talking to you, I'm so young in what I'm talking, but if I don't know what I'm doing here, okay, sometimes we do people talking, we do all these things, isn't it? Imagine if I do like this. How odd it is for you to, maybe you may accommodate because you are used to so many people. But suppose somebody will ask, you know, it's all indiscipline. You know, I remember I used to get nice, because you're conscious, you have to be very conscious, you know. And then people, why is this moving like this, moving like this? Oh, yes, I didn't notice. What you didn't notice? You are not conscious, okay? This is called a dhamaha. Understand now, being conscious of what your hands are doing, what your body is doing. No, not being, just being aware of, being, it's all discipline. We're so unconscious, careless. Understand? This all come under what now? Having shama, dhamma, etc. All this, having certain control, okay, certain mastery over all our physical and mental moments, sensory moments, is called what? Pratyaharaha. Yeah, elaborately we can discuss it again in Gita class when we come across. But here my idea, because actually I finished the subject matter today. Hritsthale manaha swasthata is what? The end of all that we do. That is a teaching today. It's over. I'm going unnecessarily into these things because yoga I had to talk about. Because people... It's also part of our clarity, isn't it? Very important to know, because people don't know what is yoga. Doing simply some exercise doesn't make one yoga. It is a purushartha nischaya, isn't it? That is why I want to talk about it. Only if it is called yoga. See, all these things practiced for as a discipline is all for antakarna shuddhi and antakarna naischalyam. This will not take you any distance from where you are. Understand? But there's no moksha here. Practicing these eightfold limbs of yoga definitely will prepare you, your mind, for help you to prepare your mind for knowledge. Therefore, it is called yoga. If there is purusharth nischaya, it is yoga. Without purusharth nischaya, however great bhakta you are of Patanjali, you are practicing all these things, there is no mukti, there is no jnana, there is no yoga. It's just an exercise. Added to what all other karmas you are doing every day. You're eating, drinking and going out and coming and doing other things. One more thing what you're doing is what? Added is what? Yoga. Now it's a pranayama. And I said, just it's not yoga. It's just an exercise. Added activity. Additional activity to your routine. And there's no yoga here. Patanjali, Rishi, Bhagavan Patanjali, we call him, okay? Because he just gave it as a discipline one can practice. You can have choice here. And so pratyaharaha, pranayamaha, pratyaharaha, and we have dharanam. Dharanam means what? See, dharayati means holds. Swamini, tumbler, dharati. Okay, dharati, dharayati also. That is why the Mother Earth is called Dharini. Anaitthayum thangiravul yaranna. Dharini. Kadakkat chayiravul Tharini. But one who supporter of everything is what? Dharini. Understand now? Dharati iti Dharini. She, who is the one who supports the whole Jagat is what? Dharini. Mother is called Dharini. Vishwa Dharini. Isn't it? So, here... that's why Vasundhara, no, Vasundharati, Dhara, Dharini, no, all this Dha, etc. We have lots of words here. So here Dharini, we said Dhara. Dharanam means holding. And holding means what? Holding what? Not the body here, holding the attention of the mind. Dharanam literally means holding. What is being held? What should be held here? Attention of the mind should be held. On what? On a given object of meditation. So it's a pre-preparation for meditation, trying to practice, practicing to hold the attention on a given object of meditation. First itself, you place the attention of the mind. You don't need to really sit and meditate also. Just trying to sit, closing your eyes, think of a given object, then not having any other thoughts, trying to place the attention. First, hold the attention on the object of meditation is what? Dharanam. This itself we do for some time, quietly. That is why don't have any other object here. That's why we have always some nama japam. We say, to make it, bring in Ishvara, then it becomes meditation. Always just physical, again it's a mental, what now? Mental activity, a concentration, practicing to concentrate, to develop your concentration. It's just a mental exercise added to your additional activity. Understand? If you want it to be yoga, then bring in Ishvara. Minus Ishvara, there's no yoga. Minus Jnanam, there's no yoga. Minus Purushartha Nischaya, there's no yoga. Just exercise. Additional activity added to your routine. So here we say this is dharanam. This itself for some time. Don't need to, this is Shastra, this, don't really strain, oh, I'm not able to do meditation, not able to sit for many. See, only when you sit for meditation, mind goes all over the jagat. It travels all over without buying any ticket, okay? That means what? That is the problem of the mind, okay? That is why don't go for meditation, dharanam, okay? Just learn, just try to place the attention on something for a fraction of a second, for a length of time. Just, this is dharanam. Sort of pre-preparation for meditation. Not big difference, understand? Once you're able to fix your mind on an object of meditation, then you start meditation, dhyanam. Dharanam, then dhyanam. So dhyanam, I've already told you, here we are not talking about contemplation at all. Dhyanam as a mental activity, understand now, wherein you focus your attention of the mind on a given object of meditation, which stands for Ishvara, understand, for a length of time, wherein you're focusing your attention constantly, uninterruptedly. This is what is meditation. And in this meditation, we have what? As dhyanam. In this context, dhyanam does not talk about nirguna brahma dhyanam. Understand? It is the meditation wherein the meditated is different from the meditator. And this will result in what? Mental steadiness. Practiced for a length of time will result in mental steadiness, definitely. And this mental, this dhyanam also will be yogaha only if there is purushartha nischayaha. Purushartha nischayaha, jnanam, knowledge of the swarupam, is the ultimate end. The mind abiding in its own swarupam is the real accomplishment. Nothing else. Okay, you travel all over. Come back to your home one day. One fine day. There's a day, okay? You come back to your own place. That is what is what. This is what is the real accomplishment. See, nee unnodu iruttal. Nee niyaha iruttale kattilum veru sadhanaye perisi illa en solra shastram. There's no greater achievement, accomplishment other than just being yourself. That we aren't able to do that. Understand? That's what we say, summa irukka mudiyadhu. Understand? No. Once you are yourself means, there is, in fact, summa irutthal implies, understand? Being objective. You don't internalize things. Being objective. Still things will be happening. I don't say you'll be sitting in the jnani means, just sits quietly all the time without moving. That I told you, no? Without moving, without even doing anything, just sits quietly. People expect the jnani should not feel hungry also. They should not eat, they should not drink, and not go out anywhere, not talk to people, nothing. And whoever makes any comments, they should remain like a stone. That is not, there's no jnanam, that useless jnanam. Understand? It implies how the mind is, how the mind of a jnani is so serene. It is serenity, abode of serenity and tranquility. But, understand now, it is not shaken by any such anything because it abides in its swarupam, fullness. That is the goal means, then everything becomes yoga. Meditation becomes yoga, isn't it? So, dhyanam. Now, okay, yamaha, niyamaha, asanam, pranayamaha, pratyaharaha, dharanam, dhyanam. Seven limbs are over. Samadhi. This is the big problem. People have lots of problems with samadhi. You know, our Swamiji really every time he used to din, people, he has to tell. People think samadhi is the enlightenment. People mistake samadhi for mokshaha. Samadhiyil aandar. Because we read books also. We can't keep quiet because we are so curious, you know, because we are so inquisitive and so curious and so we are so rupam. There's this urge in us really drives us to do something, read that book, do something, somewhere something, okay, that urge being there for fullness, okay. That is why what an amount of urge. You know, people always think, you know, why gopi, every gopi presented in Bhagavatam, you know, so longs for Krishna darshanam. You know, oh, when can you see Krishna? Where is Krishna? That the description is so beautiful, such a big thing, you know. That implies the urge on the part of every mind to be free, to revel in fullness. Okay, that which mind doesn't want happiness? That urge alone gets expressed in the form of all thoughts of desires, all sorts of actions, everything. It's natural for the mind. That's why we won't read lots of things also, books also. And here we say samadhi is what? Samadhi is enlightenment. No. Samadhi is not mokshaha. Samadhi is one of the disciplines. Understand? It will happen. And there again we have savikalpa samadhi and nirvikalpa samadhi. A samadhi, in samadhi, it is natural for one to have some experience. When I say experience, you can understand any experience is a thought. That's all finished. Any experience is what? A thought. Are you interested in thought or what? Because any thought will disappear. Understand? Experience means time bound. That experience will go subject to change. Any experience is subject to change. What is invariably changeless is what? The experiencer. Understand? You are interested in the experiencer, not in experience. Understand? In discovering, recognizing the experiencer, and the experiencer being awareness, resolving the experiencer in awareness, resolving I the experiencer in awareness, thereby mind abiding in that awareness is what? Your mukti, your fullness, your nitya nirantara sukhamna. Nityavna, nirantara sukham means what? Unbroken flow of fullness. Understand now? Antara means idaivali. Nir antara means what? Understand, unbroken, uninterrupted sukham is what? Constantly happiness is there. Antara, santara, nirantaram. Understand now? Santara means what? Broken. Pleasure, every pleasure is santara sukham. Isn't it? Time bound. And nirantara sukham. Nitya nirantara sukham. Maramal kalayamal irundhukonde irikkinra sukham ennanna. The niraivu. That is swarupam. Okay, so nirantara prakashaha suryasya and sunna. Suryasya prakashaha nirantara prakashaha. No, why does this, then this, no, why does it get dark? If the sun is there, if there is sun, okay, without rising and setting, sun is always is bright. Sun never doesn't, because it gets dark here. Can you say sun, there's no nirantara prakashaha in sun? No. There is nirantara prakashaha in the sun. We are not exposed to the prakasha. Therefore, now we have, now this we come to other part of this thing. Therefore, there is no prakasha. Surya's prakasha is always nirantara prakashaha. Understand? This part of the world is not exposed to that. That's all. Therefore, darkness here. Similarly, the mind. Atsurupam is nirantara anandaha. Anandana. Nirantara ananda surupa is atma, the truth, what? Hritsthalam. You know, manasaha hritsthalam, the heart of the mind, the core of the mind, understand? The meaning of the word I, which is there, as essence of everything is what? The chaitanyam, consciousness is what? Is of the nirantara, listen now, the fullness, surupam it is. Therefore, it's a nirantara surupa anandaha. Understand now? Surupam is, which anandaha is nirantara surupam. Nirantara anandaha is the surupam of the atma. And once you know that, then you can always be. That is what is your goal. Understand? Experiencer, not the experience. What is possible in samadhi is experience. So, Are you interested in nirantara sukham or are you interested in time-bound experience where you don't experience any pain? Understand? Samadhi is a state of mind when one has in meditation. As a result of meditation, mind remains absorbed in an object of meditation. The constant, continuous practice of meditation upon a given object, meditating on a given object will result in what? The mind, having the mind absorbed in that object. This is what actually samadhi. Manam dhyanikkapadu porulil ondru iruthal. Even then, savikalpa samadhi, why we say, still there is meditated, the difference is there, even though the mind remains absorbed in the object of meditation. Object of meditation is different, meditator is different, the person's practice is such constantly focused attention of the mind on the given object, the mind remains absorbed in the object. Even then, nothing else is there. There's an experience. In that experience, still there is duality. Experience of duality. There is stillness of the mind. There is stillness of mind. Attention of the mind alone is there. Object of meditation alone is there. Nothing else is there. This what is nothing. No other object being around, except the only object of meditation. Mind remains absorbed in the object of meditation, which is called Savikalpa Samadhi, wherein no other thought rises. In Samadhi, all the thoughts resolve like sleep. In Samadhi, you are conscious. In sleep, you are not conscious. Understand? That is a big difference. In Samadhi, you are conscious. In sleep, you are not conscious. That is why Samadhi, as Swamiji says, as good as sleep. Why? Because we don't need really to put all your thoughts to, all the thoughts resolve, but conscious. You're conscious. All the thoughts resolve. What is there now? Object of meditation alone is there. Where is the mind? Mind is with the object of the meditation. So mind abiding in the object of meditation, remaining absorbed in the object of meditation, not having any other thoughts, even then this duality is there. Meditator is there, meditator is different, that duality is this experience of duality in terms of meditator and meditation is called Savikalpa Samadhi. This is an it's good to learn to resolve the thoughts for some time. This is also in that without practicing dhyanam, one cannot jump to samadhi. Practice some dhyanam will result in what? Once you learn to get samadhi, one can constantly sit and remain in samadhi. But understand, samadhi is just a discipline, that's all, which is possible for one to have practice after dhyanam. Understand now? But our Shastras also say it is not at all. Now you don't need to go talk about Samadhi, except nothing. Just listen to Shastram. Understand Dhyanam here. Understand Nididhyasanam. See, in Ashtanga Yoga there is no Nididhyasanam. There is no contemplation. Please understand. This Dhyanam and Samadhi, all preparing your mind for Nididhyasanam, the actual Dhyanam. We have to be very careful. Isn't it? So this is what is Savikalpa Samadhi. Nirvikalpa Samadhi also, the mind remains absorbed in the object of meditation. Then no other thoughts are there. The mind remains absorbed in the object of meditation. But what happens? The meditator also is gone. The object also just, no thought is there. There also experience, this experience of experience wherein there's duality is not there. Because we say non-dual experience is there. There's non-dual experience is there. There's no, you don't see any second thing, but you also do not see the only vastu. Understand now? You resolved all the thoughts. There's no thought. You are conscious. There's no thought, but still you are not seeing awareness there. There is non-dual experience, but there is no vision of non-duality of the reality. In this way, in everyday sleep, we all have non-dual experience. Look at this now. Every day in sleep, we all have non-dual experience. What is, we are not experiencing the non-duality. There is no experience, okay? Non-duality of the reality is not experienced. You understand every experience being reality in knowledge. Understand, that's a different thing. But in everyday sleep means all the thoughts are resolved. In deep sleep state, no thought is there. Meditator is not there. Meditated also is not there. This meditation helps you to resolve the meditator and the meditated, but you are not seeing the awareness. You are conscious, you are in deep sleep state. You are not conscious, you are. That's the only difference for the sleep and nirvikalpa samadhi. Have you any difference between savikalpa and nirvikalpa? In savikalpa, mind remains absorbed in the object of meditation. Still there is an experience of there's a duality, okay? There's a dual experience is there because meditated alone or there nothing else is there. But he nirvikalpa, nothing is there. All the thoughts are resolved. But you're conscious of thoughts being resolved, but still there is no awareness of awareness. Awareness is always awareness. How can there not be awareness, isn't it? But there's no awareness of awareness. That is why people always mistake it. Oh, all the thoughts are gone means enlightenment. That is not true. Then nirvikalpa, have you understood the difference now? Savikalpa samadhi, anirvikalpa samadhi. This also is what possible. It implies, unless one has the 10 disciplines, it's not that possible to have even the samadhis. Even if you have samadhi, being able to practice samadhi itself is a great thing. It's not an ordinary thing. But even the samadhis, savikalpaha samadhi, alluka samadhi, is not an end. Still you are bound. Still you are limited, be individual. Because samadhi, when you get up from samadhi experience goes, any samadhi is an experience. Nirvikalpa samadhi also is an experience. Savikalpa samadhi also is an experience. There is a greater pleasure, no doubt. But as an experience means to have this pleasure of going through this experience, one has to work very hard to be able to resolve all the thoughts and all that. Not an easy joke, but an experience. Why? So you will lose it. Understand? It's like once you wake up from sleep in the morning, my God, same old Jagat. Similarly, once you are disturbed in your samadhi, again you are a simple, bound, complaining, limited individual with all problems.
So by the time you get to that state, aren't you really...
That's why Purusharatha Nischayaha, this Atma-Sarupam, this Atma-Sarupam, that's why contemplation is important. First, in meditation, like meditation, in contemplation also you resolve all the thoughts. But there you will be aware of awareness. That is being aware of awareness, again constantly being aware of awareness in contemplation, you ascertain it. And completely aham buddhi. See, I sense the body, mind, sense complex cannot be shifted if this is not taught, isn't it? But suppose that's why I'm saying sometimes people go off to that off and mad. Come to Rishikesh, he'll show you some people, okay? I don't want to show you by fate and your people, okay?
Ramakrishna Barabhamsa used to go into samadhi.
அவர் போனாலும் சமாதி மீன்ஸ் யா சமாதி யூஸ் டு கோ பிகாஸ் ஆஃப் ஹிஸ் சமாதி போலாம் பட் சமாதி இஸ் நாட் மோக்ஷா. This is just experience, a sort of experience. Any sastram does not recommend experience at all as something absolute. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.